Well, Happy New Year. We had New Year last week, but we didn't talk about this. So Happy New Year 2022 next. Enrique next. Please. I'm going to be pointing at you, okay? You're watching me to point. So the moment you realize that 2022 is pronounced 2022, that's not good, is it? Next. So we got a new year, which means we get a chance for a fresh start. You actually can have a fresh start anytime you want to, can't you? But it's, we clear the calendar, start fresh again next. Somebody says, what exactly is a New Year's resolution? I said, well, it's a to-do list for the first week in January. So since we're already out of that, we're past those. Now we can start over again next. Since it's tradition to break my New Year's resolutions, I think this year I'll try for being fat, lazy, and sober and see how that works for me. Hope we can break those resolutions. Next. May all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions, somebody said. I think that's a good one. And next. Life is a practice. That is, you are what you do each day. Isn't that true? That you are. We do things every day, and whatever habits we're in, whatever practices we have, that is what our life is. Next. And I'm assuming you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, you comb your hair, do lots of things like that. Next. And a lot of people can't do anything until they get that first cup of coffee, right? They get that first cup of coffee. Next. But isn't it nice when the coffee loves you as much as you love it? Okay, next. Admiral William McRaven, very interesting guy, wrote a book, and he actually made a speech that went viral, and then he wrote a book about it, and he's the president, I think, of the University of Texas. I think it's where he was came to president. But he said, if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. What do you think that means? Start off by making your bed. Next. He said, if you make your bed every morning, you'll have accomplished the first task of the day. It'll give you a small sense of pride and will encourage you to do another task and another and another. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that's made, that you made, and a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. But he wrote a book called Make Your Bed, so you might want to find that and read it. But anyway, that's all based on that speech he made. Next. How we start our morning sets the foundation for the rest of our day, doesn't it? How you start it starts off, it everything geared by how you get started usually. Next. So let me ask you, what kind of morning rituals do you have for religion, for your Christianity? Is your religion a daily religion? First, I'm going to talk about some things the Bible talks about being daily. Now, one is daily worship. Next. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. It was continual, right? All the time they were doing this. Next. Acts 2:46 and 47, every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They met daily with each other. And I don't know if this is always going to be the case where we can do that, but does it make sense for us to meet more often than we do with each other? Spend more time with each other, thinking about spiritual things? Last night at Mary Ida's funeral or memorial service, Butch Bryant was talking about the fact, he said that, you know, that Flick would take him and other guys fishing, and he said, we talk about the Lord all the way over there and all the way back, and while we're out there fishing, and it was a chance, even though they were fishing, to talk about the Lord together. And that's something that I think we ought to do a lot more. A lot of times we just go outside that door, and as soon as we get outside the door, it's over with until next week. And it shouldn't be, should it? It ought to be something we think about, we talk about, we associate with each other, we get together with each other throughout the week. Next. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach about Jesus Christ. It was a daily thing with them, wasn't it? Day by day, they talked about Jesus. Day by day, they got together with Christians. Day by day, they worship. Next. Not only should we think in terms of a daily worship, what about daily prayer? Next. There's a song we sing sometimes called Did You Think to Pray? I don't know if we've sung it in quite a while, but Did You Think to Pray? And it says, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By His loving Spirit and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way?
When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray.
Psalm 5:3 says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I will bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. The psalmist prayed in the morning, didn't he? Next. Psalm 88:9, my eye mourns by reason of afflictions, Lord. I have called daily to you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Next. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Psalm 55:16-17. Next. And we have a song sometimes we sing too called I Will Pray. Notice it says, Father, in the morning unto thee I pray. Let thy loving kindness keep me through this day.
At the busy noontide, pressed with work and care, then I'll wait with Jesus till he hears my prayers. When the evening shadows chase away the light, Father, then I'll pray thee, bless thy child tonight. Thus in life's glad morning, in its bright noonday, in the shadowy evening, ever will I pray. I will pray, ever will I pray, morning, noon, and evening, unto thee I'll pray.
Do we pray to God regularly? Next. Daniel 6:10. When they made the edict, nobody could ask anything of anybody except the king for 30 days. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he got on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Morning, noon, and evening, unto thee I'll pray. Next. We sometimes think about Jesus teaching the disciples to pray, where he says, give us this day our daily bread. In the wilderness, they received daily manna. Their food came every day, and it was enough for one day. If they tried to gather up for 2 days, it would rot. And all that, they had one day. Give us this day our daily bread. Luke 11:3. Next. One of the best gifts we can give ourselves is time with God. You agree with that? One of the best gifts you can give yourself is time with God. Time alone with him. Do you take advantage of that? Okay. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Take everything to God in prayer, and you'll have the peace that passes understanding. Next. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Ephesians 6:18. Does it sound like we need to pray often? Next. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Next. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 4:2. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Can't read it from there. Romans 12:12.
Okay, Romans 12:12. God is never too busy to listen. Don't be too busy to talk to him. Think about that for a minute. God's not too busy to listen, so why should we be too busy to talk to him? Man? If you're too busy to spend time with God, you're busier than he intends you to be, aren't you? I remember, I think it was Dwight Moody or somebody said, I got so much to do today, I better spend 3 hours in prayer. So we had to spend more time in prayer. Next. Lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24 hours a day, don't we? I just don't have time. Well, other people have time. Why don't you have time? It's how you manage the time you have. Next. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. James 4:8. Cast all your worries on him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Have you prayed about it as much as you've talked about it? I try to think about that. Whenever there's problems and difficulties in life, do I spend all my time just talking about it? Or do I spend my time praying about it? Somebody said that I don't want to spend my time griping about things. I don't need pity. I need help. I need strength. So I pray about it. Go to somebody that can help. Next. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. Do you need wisdom on how to handle a situation? You need wisdom on what to do with life and how to handle problems, that kind of thing? Ask God. Ask for wisdom. Have you charged your spiritual battery today? I got to charge the battery on my cell phone all the time and wear it out. But, you know, have I charged my spiritual battery today? Next. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. I saw one that said that something about the devil thought he had me until I said amen and stood up. Had my head bowed low and all that, and then I said amen, and now he's ready. Okay? So daily prayer and daily Bible study. Daily Bible study, next. They received the word with all eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word can penetrate and figure you out, can't it? And what you, isn't that an amazing thing about the Bible? It always knows us better than we know ourselves. It always figures us out. Next. Whereas James says, James 1, 23-25, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, it's like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom or liberty and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So we look in God's word as a mirror to show us who we really are. Show us, oh, I got smudges on my face. Oh, I got this. I got that. I need to fix this. I need to comb my hair. You look in the mirror and you see that. Next. Adrian Rogers says, I read other books. The Bible reads me. Right? The Bible reads me. Next. And you think about soap. If I look in the mirror and I see I've got smudges on my face, what do I need to do? Get the soap out, right? Don't forget what I've looked like, but fix it best I can. Next. Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your mind be renewed by the word of God every day. Next. When we spend time praying, reading God's word, and living in the Spirit, our thinking begins to change, doesn't it? It becomes renewed. We renew our every day. Next. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Or is that 18? 18, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Daily renewal. By what? By study of God's word, reflecting on spiritual things, by prayer and those kinds of things. Next. All scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible equips us for every problem we face. Everything you face in life, the Bible's got answers for you in there. Why should we not be spending time reading the book, only book God ever wrote, greatest story ever told, the number one bestseller of all time, the greatest book ever written, and it has to do with us. It has to do with us how to live life and how to go to heaven. Why would we be spending daily time in it, reading it? I mentioned that we on Wednesday night we studied Psalm 119 a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, and 176 verses of praise to God for His Word. And it talks in there a lot about how I'm guided by and led by and helped by God's Word. And that you could read the whole Bible, 15 minutes a day, would get you the whole Bible in 1 year. You could read the entire Bible in 1 year in 15 minutes a day. Isn't that something? So why don't we? How many of us have never read the whole Bible through one time in our lives? And all it needs is 15 minutes a day to get through it. And not that it's the only way to study, but that's one thing you could do. I think it'd be great for all of us just to read through the Bible in a year. See it all, start again the next year and read through it. And of course, reflect on it, meditate on it too. Be diligent, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the picture there is, this is a craftsman who's trained and skilled at use of tools. Now, if a guy comes in, if I came walking in with the tool belt on with all the tools and everything on it, you might think, oh, he must know something about what he's doing. But then it wouldn't take about 10 minutes for you to find out I don't. I'm not skilled in the use of the tools. But you get a craftsman come in with those tools, and you can tell real quick he knows what he's doing, right? He can cut it straight, he can get it done. You look at him and you stand in awe of his ability to do the work. Well, shouldn't we be that way with God's word? Skilled with God's word, not ashamed. I got a Bible, but I don't know really much about it. I can't find anything in there. But we ought to be where people are impressed with our skill at being able to take the Word of God and teach it and preach it and apply it and help people with it. So we need to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth, cutting it straight, getting it right. Okay? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are we living by God? Are we living by food? Or are we living by God's word? Okay. Grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Are we growing in grace and knowledge? Like a newborn baby. We got a newborn baby over there. Kristen's got a little Taylor, beautiful little Taylor. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What would you think of a baby that didn't have hunger, didn't want the milk? Something wrong, right? There'd be something wrong if they didn't desire to have the milk. Do we have a hunger and a desire for the milk of God's word? Next. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but they shall be filled. You want God to fill you with righteousness? If you're hungry and thirsting for it, God will fill you with it. Next. How many people have a Bible sitting there with a bunch of dust on it? And read me. If we bring it in on Sunday, we take it and put it back down on the shelf, and then we pick it up next Sunday and bring it back again if we bring it. Do you bring your Bible each time? Do you bring your Bible to study? Next. There's a little video, and I don't have the video with us today to show it, but you can find it on YouTube. These Chinese students who receive a couple of suitcases full of Bibles. They've never had their own Bible before. And you see them crying and hugging and kissing the Bible. They've got a Bible. How many of us have got 10 Bibles in our house? We're going to look up and read. People have died trying to give us the Bible in their own language. Burned at the stake because they tried to give us the Bible in their own language. We've got it right there. We don't have to read it in Hebrew and Greek. We can read it in English. It's sitting right there. Are we reading it every day? Next. Let's commit ourselves to daily Bible reading. Make a commitment to do that. Next. Daily evangelism. Next. Luke 17, verse 47. Jesus taught daily in the temple. The chief priests and scribes and the chiefs of the people sought to destroy him. But Jesus taught daily in the temple. Next. In Matthew 26, 55, Jesus said as they were arresting him, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you didn't seize me. Jesus was teaching God's word daily to people, wasn't he? Next. Acts 5, 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Daily, publicly and privately, they were teaching God's word. Next. Jesus sent the apostles on the Great Commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be condemned. The gospel is for all. Take the gospel to the whole world. Next. Those who were scattered because of the persecution of Saul of Tarsus went about preaching the word. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And always, every time I read that verse, it reminds me of a story about the woman who looked out her kitchen window and saw her kids down there in the backyard playing with a bunch of little skunks, baby skunks. And she opened the window and yelled, oh, run, children, run. They each grown grabbed a skunk and ran. Now, I always think about when Paul is persecuting the church and he's driving the Christians out of Jerusalem, what do? They all grab the gospel and run with it. While he's trying to stomp it out, they're spreading it as they run, aren't they? Yeah. Next. Acts 20, Paul says to the Ephesian elders, in verse 20 and 21, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Again, public and house to house. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 31, therefore watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing you, each one with tears. Paul, round the clock, was trying to teach people God's word. Next. Jesus was a soul winner, wasn't he? If one thing about Jesus was, he was a soul winner, wasn't he? Next. He came to seek and save the lost, he told Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. So are you a laborer in his kingdom? In Matthew 9, Jesus says, in verse 37 and 38, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Where are the people that are going to do this? Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his vineyard or into his harvest. Are we praying for God to send laborers? To send people to work in the fields. The fields are wide enough to harvest. There's people out there. I can guarantee you there's people in this community, there's people in your family and neighborhood who want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And are we reaching out to them? I think, you know, if I was going to say probably our number one weakness in this congregation is not reaching out to the God with the gospel. Try to spread the gospel. It's our number one responsibility, but it's our number one weakness, I think. And there's lots of other things we do a real good job on, but that's one we need to really work on, I think. Next. Are you a laborer? Get out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Make them come in so that my house may be full. Jesus said in Luke 14, 21 and 23, which was in our Bible class this morning. We read that. So are we doing all we can to seek and save the lost? Are we really giving it our best? Are we looking for people to teach and people to share the gospel with? Next. What about daily exhortation? Next. Some people need exhortation and encouragement, don't they? Poor kids. Well, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be encouraging each other, don't we? There's sin out there seeking to harden us, and we need to keep our hearts fresh and soft by encouraging each other daily. Well, it's called today. But encourage each other daily as long as it's called today, he says there next. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up, according to Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Are we building each other up? Galatians 6, 1 and 2 ends by saying, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Next. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Why do we assemble on the Lord's Day? Why is it important to come to the assemblies and be with the Christians? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not by neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The purpose is we ought to be edifying, uplifting, developing each other, encouraging each other, lifting each other up in the faith, and we can't do that if we're not here. If we're not here, we can't do that. That's why it's so important to be here. So when somebody comes in and looks, they say, well, there's a lot of other people think it's worth doing this. I've been having a hard time keeping with it, but wow, look, there's lots of other people think it's worth it still. It's encouraging to us. Next. Apart from the things which have not been mentioned, there's the crowd of cares pressing upon me daily, Paul says. The anxious concern for all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who stumbled and I myself did not burn. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. Paul had the daily burden of the churches on him. Every day he had to think about how he's going to help these churches be faithful to God. Next. Live in peace with each other. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Always be kind. What a great lesson that is. 1 Thessalonians 5, 13 and 14. Next. He says here, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Build each other up. Encourage each other just as you are doing. Next. Paul says to Philemon, your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Wouldn't you love to be somebody who refreshes the hearts of the saints? That's what Paul said Philemon did. Next. And what about daily service? Daily service to the Lord. Next. Acts 6, 1. Now at this time, the disciples were increasing in number, and a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. They were taking care of these widows daily, and they were being neglected. Next. James 1:27, what is true religion? Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Taking care of the widows and orphans is a big part of pure religion. Next. James 2, verse 16, if one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? James 2, 16. What good to do to say, be warm and filled, everything okay, I hope everything gets better for you, and not do anything to help. Next. 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18 says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's not just talk about it. Let's do it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28
says that we should, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need.
We should be working to have enough to take care of ourselves and our families, but also have something extra to share with others that need it too. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, I think. Is that 10?
6:10,
yes. So, as we have opportunity, let's do good to others. We sing a song sometimes, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Great song, right? Each day I'll do a golden deed. Next. And the last one is, next to last, is daily cross-bearing, which says what? If any man will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Next.
Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it or save it. Luke chapter 9, verse 24. Are we saving our lives or losing our lives in his service? Next. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. It's another song we sing sometimes, right? There's a cross for me. Next. Anybody can wear a cross around their neck, but can you bear one? Can you be a cross bearer? Next. There are no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross bearers here below. Think about that a minute. You've got to be a cross bearer here to be a crown wearer there. Right? Next. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising or scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Jesus bore the cross, didn't he, for us. Next. When Jesus becomes our focus, we will be in the very center of God's will for us. Next. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ, and now Christ lives in me. Next. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 and 13.
Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach.
We need to bear Jesus. Jesus went outside the camp to bear a reproach for us. Now we need to go outside the camp to bear a reproach for him. Next. The last one is daily results. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Next. Acts 16:5. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of something where every day there's people being added to the Lord? Baptisms every day. That only happens if we plant and water and really get out there and work. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because we work hard at it. And God has something to bless. And so increasing in daily number daily would be wonderful. Next. So is your religion a daily religion? Next. Daily meetings. Daily prayer. Daily Bible study, evangelism, exhortation, service, cross-bearing, and results. Does it sound like Christianity is a daily religion from what we read today in the scriptures? Next. Look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what do I want to do every day for the rest of my life? And then do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. Next. If you really want to do something, you'll find a way. And if you don't, you'll find an excuse. We talked about that in Bible class today, didn't we? You'll find an excuse. Next. Instead of saying, I don't have time, try saying it's not a priority and see how that feels. Have you read your Bible today? Well, it's not really a priority. Have you prayed today? Well, it's not really a priority. Don't say I don't have time. Say it's not a priority for me. And that'll make you feel differently about it, won't it? Next. Although no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new beginning. Okay, so you missed out on January 1st, January 9th. Start today. Pick it up today and keep on moving. You fall and stumble and get up the next day and do it again. Okay? Final, I think it is. Where you are today is a sum of every choice you've ever made. If you don't like where you are, change things. You say, oh, I know I need to pray. I need to study. I need to do it. Don't just talk about it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Just do it. If you want a different result, you got to do something different. You today are who you are because of the decisions you made yesterday and the day before. If you want something different, you have to make different decisions. Now, the number one decision you make is become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, why not? What are you waiting for? Today, the Bible talks about today is the day of salvation. It says now is the acceptable time. It says, well, it's called today to do these things. So you need to obey the gospel of Jesus. You need to become a Christian. We'd love to encourage you and help you with that path. And I hope every one of us today, before we leave this place, will commit ourselves to making Christianity a daily religion and look at those things that they did daily and make them part of our daily life as well. You know, make part of your morning routine. Make a part of your daily activities. If you're subject to the invitation and need to respond today, we're going to stand and sing a song, and Bill's going to lead us.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou